podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive. Are you thinking more about how to tighten up your budget these days? Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save over $700 on average, and customers can qualify for an average of 6 discounts when they sign up. A little off your rate each month goes a long way. Get a quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customers surveyed in 2020. Potential savings will vary. Discounts vary and are not available in all states and situations.
Ese último McNugget me toca a mí porque soy la mayor.
¿Y eso qué tiene que ver?
Los mayores se respetan.
Eso no existe, ¿cierto, mamá?
Ya, quédense tranquilas. Aquí hay otra cajita de McNuggets.
Respeto, ¿viste?
No hay rivalidad cuando hay McNuggets deal. Hay un deal para cada salida familiar en McDonald's. Compra uno de tus favoritos, como unos McNuggets de 10 piezas, una Big Mac, una Quarter Pounder with Cheese o un Filet Fish y te llevas otro por $1. Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. Válido para un producto de igual o menor valor.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Fatback 4 podcast for your Sunday night. On Friday, Liverpool were 19 points clear in the Premier League. It's Sunday, and now we're 22 points clear, and it's getting outrageous at this stage. Number 19 is on the way. Make no bones about it. Number 19 is most certainly on the way. The party starts here. When are we going to win it? That's probably the only question left. And here we go, the Fatback 4 podcast for your Sunday night. It's Super Bowl Sunday, so we'll get this out of the way before 11 o'clock. I think the Super Bowl kicks off around 11:30. But look, the big thing today is that Liverpool are 22 points clear in the Premier League after Manchester City were beaten 2-0 by Spurs at the White Hart Lane, London Tottenham Stadium, or whatever they call it nowadays. With me, I have Grizz and I have Chris, and we're going to try talk a little bit about Southampton and the win we had on Saturday. But the major thing is, it's a procession now at this stage. It's any doubt you had a week, 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago, 24 hours ago, they're all gone. They really are all gone. Liverpool will be champions of England come the end of this season, and if not well before that. And look, if you're in the chat, throw all the comments you want in there. You can rejoice, you can shout anything you want at us, and we'll try to keep up as much as we possibly can. Grizz, I've said a long time ago, 30 wins will win this league for you. If Liverpool get the 30 wins and lose the rest, they will be champions of England. I also said that no other team in this league will top 90 points, and I stand by it. It's
all
a procession.
Okay, you got it right.
I did get it right. And look, I'm doing what you usually do when you get something right. But Grizz, this is over, and now all we have to do is think about, are we going to be go unbeaten, and when are we going to actually wrap this up?
Yeah, look, in a weird way, in a mad, weird way, it's actually boring now, Gav.
No, it's not, Chris. I'll stop you there.
No, I'll tell you why. Because
you are bored of winning games.
No. I mean, you know what I mean.
No.
Nobody's giving anyone a chance or anything. There's no excitement every game. But I'll tell you what's beautiful. I'll tell you what's beautiful and will remain beautiful for the remaining how many weeks?
14 games.
13?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say for the remaining 13 games, every game week will be so beautiful, Gav, because everyone and their dog knows we've won the league. Yet all these games will still have to be played. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful from that point of view. The rage, you know, the anger, almost sadness in other fan bases. It's glorious, absolutely glorious to see. But do you know what I mean? But I don't think you know what I mean, do you?
I usually don't know what you mean, but go on.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, it's too easy. It's like, I seriously, and this is not being arrogant, I don't think we've come out of third gear.
I think we've paced ourselves better.
I think we've paced ourselves amazingly. I think you're right. I think we've paced ourselves amazingly. Chris, you know, when you look at it, we always talk about teams pacing themselves, teams peaking at the right time. You know, we've lost Mane there last week, and he looks like he's just going to come back after this little break that we have. And all we're looking at is take 18 points, maximum 18 points to win the league, and we can just absolutely throw out everything we have down at the Champions League. It feels absolutely perfect right now, doesn't it?
It's just unreal, mate. Absolutely unreal. But it's, with Klopp, when you look back, it's what he does. Every year, we've always hit a buffer. So his first year was January, then it was March. And he's found a way of adapting to this league to get it right. Because the worry for Liverpool has always been January, February is when we struggle, and we struggle badly. This is the first year where he's got us paced just perfectly, despite injuries, despite other things in our way. And that's what he's done. He's just adapted, which is something I would say our rivals are struggling to do, which is adapt to situations, adapt to, you know, setbacks, rather than bitching and moaning about it's this, it's that. Find a way to adapt, find a different way to win. And that's what we've finally built a side that can do.
Yeah, we really have. There's loads of comments in here. They're flying. They're coming on the screen and going off them as quicker than I anticipated. Mark Spill says he's buzzing about the league, but the fact that it will be done early gives us a shot at the Champions League. Got to win as many cups as we can when we're this hot, lads. I absolutely agree. Mick says the fume from the Man City on 5 Live was sensational. It was out of this world. It was 7.5 minutes, and it was absolute poetry from start to finish. He loses the plot. My favourite bit was when he goes on about Rush and Ewes and to Robbie Savage, and Ian Rush was at Juventus when Robbie Savage was referring to him. Mark Hughes never played for Liverpool, and then the guy just said, listen, Robbie, you need to be impartial. It was absolutely amazing. Go and listen to it. It's on our Twitter feed, and it's just unbelievable. Luke says, do you guys reckon they put the new Premier League trophy or keep the old one on the Champions wall? That's a great question, because the we've won 18 league titles, which were the old, you know, kind of trophy. I don't know what they do. They can do what they want. They can just put a Premier League sticker beside it if they want. I don't really care. But yeah, it's a very good question.
Changes the Premier League trophy and put 19 on it, because that will boil piss.
Yeah, it could do. It absolutely could do. Avo's upset with Grizz. He said, it's not boring. We've waited 30 years for this. Lap it up. This is the greatest football team this country has ever produced.
I'm lapping it up.
Nobody comes near us. Dylan O'Rourke says he usually hates Savage, but hilarious in that video. Barry says he has a venue, a caterer, a band, a photographer, and a videographer. That refers to the night that me and Andy organised his wedding. I notice he hasn't said he has the DJ, so me and Andy are still up for that slot. Grizz, we will get into more about winning the league and what looks like a procession right now, but just going back to Saturday, we spoke about this game against Southampton. We felt it'd be tough. We felt it'd be edgy. And for 45 minutes, Grizz, it was a real test, wasn't it?
Good team, Gav. They're a good team. You've got to give them credit, especially the board, who were patient with this guy.
Especially that Leicester result.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So a lot of shitty clubs would have panicked and sort of, you know, sacked him there and then. But Southampton are a decent outfit. A decent little club as well, and they've done the right thing, stood by him. You know, Southampton, the manager's supposed to be, you know, sort of, you know, a clone of Klopp, like a mini Klopp, in terms of how his teams press, counter press, and how they play with high energy. I thought it was a very brave selection from him in the way that Saints set up against us, because normally, when Southampton come to town, they always play with three DMs, three centre-backs. Mm. You know, you could always pick their bloody three centre-halves. You know, it's like Pierre Holberg and Romelu and Ward-Prowse, all three just sitting in front of the back four. Well, this time he went very different. He picked Ward-Prowse at right-back.
And then he hasn't got anyone else.
And then, that's probably one of the reasons. But, you know, he played with two wingers and two strikers, like two genuine attackers on the flanks. Redmond and Gempo is a very good player. The two lads up front are very own Ings and Shane Long. So, you know, I did beg the question, is this brave or is this suicide, you know, this fella? And for that first half, Gav, I think they gave us, I'm trying to think, maybe Wolves that first half at Anfield. I think they gave us the hardest time.
I think that was tougher than Wolves.
I think it's tougher than Wolves. I think it was tougher than Man City.
I don't think they're as good a side as Wolves. They're certainly not as good as Man City. And when you look through their squad, you go, yeah, he's okay. There's one or two standouts for them. I think the way they work their system is very good. They believe in what they're doing. Like you said, Chris, they get beaten 9-0 at home by Leicester. They spend 75 minutes with 10 men, but it was a completely gutless performance. You know, you shouldn't be conceding 9 goals with 10 men, even if it's for 90 minutes. But they've stuck to their principles. They played, they did presses and stuff like that. But Chris, as much as I want to give Southampton credit, and I am giving them credit, particularly for the last 15 minutes of the first half in particular, how much do you think that was down to Southampton being really, really good, or how much was it down to Liverpool taking the eye off the ball a little bit? Because I felt that Liverpool lost their way a little bit after about 25 minutes of that game, and Southampton done quite well to capitalise on that.
You've got to say it's a combination, isn't it? It's a combination and a culmination of the couple of weeks we've had in terms of non-stop games, not much rest in between. We always knew that after this game, there would be a nice little break for the players. So therefore, he's near enough selected the same team, hasn't he, for the last 3-4 Premier League games, barring sort of obviously, except the injury to Mane, which is sort of enforced upon him one change. Look, when we saw the lineup, you know, we weren't happy with, me and you wasn't overly happy with Ox in the front three, you know, but as usual, you know, Klopp proves us wrong, and Ox has probably one of his better games of the season, you know, finds a bit of rhythm.
I was more annoyed at Fabinho started.
Yeah, there you go. So exactly what I was about to come to. So Henderson done fine. We thought, give him one more game, give Fabinho another couple of weeks to get really, really ready. But, you know, Klopp decided to give him a bit of game time, and Fabinho grew into it. I mean, I thought Fabinho was a bit shaky for that first, as you know.
I think you'd be polite there, Grizz. I thought it was crap first half.
Yeah, it was crap.
By his standards, all he did was chew the ball. Every time he got the ball, it was two touch, three touch, four touch, and it was slowing it down. That's what Henderson's not been doing.
I'd use the word crap against Shrewsbury for him. It was actually diabolical, his Lovren Matip's performance against Shrewsbury. But I don't think he was crap against Southampton, because I thought Southampton were very good, as Gav said. You've got to give them credit as well. I thought the tactics were spot on. He basically, you know, very brave of him, went head to head with us. But Gav, I think what happened was, as usual and as per, and you know, it's a trait, and it's an amazing trait, and it's a beautiful trait of Liverpool's. You know, we assess the situation at halftime. The analysis boys come in, tell Klopp this is going wrong, this is crap. Klopp goes into them at halftime, tells them you better fucking wake up the second half, and you know, the rest is history, as they say. We solve yet another problem, but you know, we solve another situation. We assess the team, how they're playing, the formation, their weaknesses, and how we go about it, and we do exactly that.
No, like, I'm going to be honest with you, like, you're talking about analysis and stuff like that. I would think at half time, like, you have to remember there's analysis and then he doesn't make any changes. So it probably is just an attitude thing, probably. You know, Liverpool 30 minutes in probably think this will come in the end, not to worry. And then Southampton kind of snapped into life. And I'm sure Klopp did say at half time, hold on, do you see what's going on here for 15 minutes? It's not good enough. And you send them back out and they're straight on it. They are straight on it, you know. And you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, delighted for them. And I think it was Carl Kopak the other night said, Chamberlain won't be a bad bet for a goal. He does kind of get them in sports. You know, it could be only a two-game sport, but he usually does. And it was a good show. Big shout out to, who was it? Megan McCallion, who gave me the bet the other night. She got our total for the charity bets up a little bit. So well done to her. But half time comes, Chris. And like I said, we come out second half, we get that goal. And that's fair enough. It's a good goal. Robertson does well. Firmino does excellently. It's a good touch by Oxlade-Chamberlain. And he finds a spot in the goal, kind of leaves the keeper flat footed. The big talking point around was the second goal. And Ings goes down in the box under the challenge by Fabinho. We go up the other end and score. And
that's the first goal, isn't it?
No. Oh, sorry. It is the first goal. I have this mixed up. What have I got mixed up with?
Great, sorry.
I do. I have it mixed up. No, I'm thinking. I have the second goal in my head. But the talking point is that. Okay, so he goes down. It's a penalty. There's no shadow of a doubt about it. It's a penalty. And it goes up the other end and we score. Sorry, I'm thinking of the disallowed goal as well. And I'm also thinking of the ball that Trent's being given credit for. That was just a hoof. And Firmino gets onto it for the second goal. But Chris, it's an absolute stonewall penalty. And there's been a lot made of it. You know, Liverpool this, Liverpool that. I want to go back and bring something in from the first half where Firmino was hauled down by Shane Long on the line when he's probably going to have a free header into an empty net. Does that even run up for you? You know, if we get that penalty there.
Of course it does.
You know,
of course it does. I mean, we shouldn't have to even up. Look, it's your favourite subject, Gav Barr, but it should have basically been that Ing should have had that penalty to make it 1-1. That's what he should have had.
Yeah.
Because we should have had one. I don't know why it's not given. It looks pretty obvious.
Barry Carr reckons that Ings drags his leg.
Maybe they think he's trying to do a Perez and initiate the contact.
Which one are you not sure why was given, Barry? Chris, sorry? The Bobby one or the Ings one?
Both.
Yeah, you know what, the Bobby one. Shall I tell you what my opinion is on the Bobby one?
Maybe they think he's not getting it, but it doesn't exactly matter. It. But that's not the rules. The rules is if you're fouled in the box, then you're allowed, because put it this way, it's a weird thought, but if I'm a footballer, which is a strange thought, if I knock a ball past Gav, and I'm probably not going to get the ball, but Gav trips me up in the box, I still get a penalty because he's tripped me up in the box. It doesn't matter if I kicked it too far in front of myself.
Maybe I've seen this wrong because and I've seen it back probably half a dozen times. Barry Carr says Fabinho blocks the ball, Ings hooks his foot and takes it with him. Stephen Kingsley says no contact on Ings, lost balance when going in between two players.
I don't want to butt in. I want to let you finish, Gav, but you know when you said absolute stonewall clear penalty?
I thought it was.
I don't think it's a stonewall clear penalty.
Right, come on. I'm listening.
I think the evidence, the video evidence, was very inconclusive. You can't see, you know, if you slow down 90% of slow motion replays, you will always find contact. There is contact.
It's this
notion of contact means penalty. You know, when they slow it down into real as slow as they possibly can, then there's always contact, and you think, oh look, there's contact. That's a penalty.
But for me, like, people are saying Fabinho blocks the ball. He does. And it got, once he blocks it, it goes past him. He takes a second go at Ings.
He has a little... Gav, he's got long legs.
It doesn't matter how long your legs are, Chris. It's the movement you make with them.
It's sometimes very difficult to get those long legs out of the way again. I mean, I guess...
No, he doesn't get... No, hold on. The ball goes through. He makes a second movement then. It's a deliberate second movement. At Danny Ings. It's a penalty. And like, Stephen Max is there, it's 100% nailed on penalty. If source says, to me, both were penalties.
100%.
I think it's like the penalty Manny got at home to Leicester, where sometimes you get him, sometimes you don't. But VAR would never, it's one of those ones where it's subjective that VAR would never flip it. It's not like the City one today where it looks like Aurier boots Aguero. It's not as clear cut, not as clean cut as that. So I think he falls into that realm of, look, when I saw that, my initial reaction was, shit, that's a penalty.
A lot of people are here, like Shaq says, Grizz, that's quality, long legs. Mark Spruill is laughing at Grizz, long legs. He's in bits laughing. Chilix is laughing as well at the long legs comment. Like, I'm just visioning there where you go, you punch the fella in the head. Yeah, but my arms are really long.
Maybe these things need to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, no, it was you know,
size of limbs.
I, to be honest with you,
Joel Pickford's knackered them.
I would have had that down as a penalty. When I seen it, and anything I've seen back, and not because.
Well, I wouldn't say it's 100% like your claim.
Well, I would say it's 100% a penalty. Having said that, the one with Firmino, he will get to that ball. He will get to that ball, and it's probably a sending off for Shane Long because he's dragged the fella down, making no attempt for a ball. He probably gets a red card for that. But look, that's boy to boy. A lot of people, somebody says there, they're making a lot more around this Robertson back pass as well. Like, you know, but we're going to get to that stage now. If Liverpool get a throw in, that's kind of dubious. There's a massive thing made of it. I can't understand.
We've had that one.
Yeah, yeah. And look, it's going to be one of those. Like, what can you do? But from there on in, I thought Liverpool were exceptional. And the one player I want to pick out, Grizz, to be honest with you, is Mohamed Salah. Now, we've spoken over the last couple of weeks, and a couple of lads in our WhatsApp group have said, lads, this fella is going to go to town on this league in the last 15, 16 league games. That's the feeling they had just by watching him. But yesterday, yeah. Grizz, he was absolutely electric. And if Firmino releases a ball a quarter of a second quicker, we've scored the goal of the season, and you can shut down the competition. But I thought Salah was absolutely electric.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful to see the way each one of our lads has stepped up when another team member has sort of been injured and sort of maybe out for a period, right? So I know you want to touch on Salah, but I want to touch on, just because our team's so great, I want to talk about some other members of the team that have contributed, right? So, for example, Matip starts the season, gets out injured for a period, sustained period. We slightly have a panic because we think Matip's been brilliant and VVD. Lovren steps in, absolute class. Lovren steps out, and then Gomez. Everyone thinks Gomez having a bit of a shaky start to the season. We could talk about Gomez all night, how brilliant he's been since he stepped in. You know, same thing with Fabinho. Henderson steps up to the plate. Bloody hell, turns into player of the season. Mane gets injured, and then we think, you know, come on, Mo, this is your time now, because Mane has been not carrying us, but being the sort of the shining, the beacon, the star man, the main man. You know, he's been absolutely quality for me. Close to probably Liverpool's player of the season. Well, definitely one of the candidates. And then Mo decides to wake up out of a slight slumber in terms of performance. The numbers were there, but sort of, you know, there's criticism of his touch, criticism of his sort of effort maybe in certain quarters. Maybe justifiably, I don't know. But then Mane gets injured, and then Mo has been absolutely superb, Gavin Doyle. The guy, you can see the hunger in his eyes, the hunger in his, the whole body language of Mo. And I've said this before to you, we've discussed it before. When Mo Salah starts getting his head up and seeing assists and making assists, he is one of the most elite forward attackers in world football. And especially for us in this Liverpool system, when Mo Salah decides, maybe I'm being unfair on him, but when he starts making assists as well, he's absolutely deadly. And that's exactly what's been happening last few weeks. The guy has been sensational. And I'm pretty certain he's going to overtake Vardy. And who's the other one? Aguero?
Aguero's up there, yeah. He's 3 goals off Vardy now. And he has
he's going to smash them all.
Megan says that he has his eyes on the golden boot. Mark Spurrell says, what about Hendo, lads, being different gravy? Barry Carr says, I don't hesitate to say it, captain, fantastic. Liam Morrissey says, Salah 2 or 3 goals behind Vardy now. He's 3 behind him. Dean Simmons says, we've been relentless from back to front. Dylan O'Rourke says, he's got long legs. He does have long legs. Sorry, read that one out already. Shaq says, is there any chance of any of the front three leaving this summer or next? Not this summer, absolutely not. Who's going over for the last game of the season? And Victory Parade asks Liverboard, if anybody's going, let Liverboard know. North Red says, Hendo's has to get Premier Player and Players Player of the Year. They'd set football on fire if that happens. But Chris, I've mentioned Salah. And the other one I want to mention is Firmino, because I thought Firmino was outstanding as well. And he hasn't scored at Anfield this season. I think he has about 14, 15 goals in total for Liverpool this season, all being away from home. But he orchestrates things for me in the last half an hour of that game absolutely brilliantly, and shows exactly what he means to this football team, goals or no goals.
Oh, yeah, mate. The pass for Henderson and the back heel he does to Chambers goes, it's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He's just purring. That's when you know Bobby's back to his best. He just purrs, and he just looks effortless. Absolutely effortless. It just looks like he's playing on the street. It's really, really good. It's just breathtaking to watch.
Go on.
I'm just made up. Henson starts out a couple of goals to his game. You know, I'm not saying that's the be all and end all, but it's quite nice just to have that extra little bit on it.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good, it's just good fun, because it just winds more people up as well, which I'm all for.
I know you are. But like when you look at Firmino's contribution there, the first goal, it's the flick to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. He gets the assist to Henderson. He then gets an assist for the I can't remember if it's the third or fourth goal. That's that many bleeding goals.
Fourth.
Went in.
It's the fourth.
Yeah, when he's
you went out for a smoke, didn't you?
Oh, no. Do you know what? I'm having massive problems with these two goals that Salah gets. And every time I watch them back, I go, was that the third or the fourth? And do you know what it was? I got a little bit annoyed at Mo Salah because when Firmino squares it to him, he should just absolutely put it in the net. I don't know why he's taking a touch. And then he's a little bit fortunate in the way the ball goes in. But he gets an assist for that as well. And he could have been greedy when Salah slips him down the side and he shakes off that defender. He could have taken a touch and hit it with his left foot. But he doesn't. He sets up Salah for that goal. Like, he's just being brilliant, and I'm hoping this little break again and everyone in top form, and you want everyone in top form, the likes of your Alisson, your Van Dijk, your everyone, but Firmino, if he's in top form, he just gives us that just something extra about this team, I find. Grizz, the last player I want to touch on, and loads of people have mentioned him here, and it's Jordan Henderson. That's a goal and an assist against Wolves. He's come in with another goal yesterday. Playing really, really well. The assist I loved. The weight of the ball was brilliant. But Grizz, a lot of people have called for him to be player of the year. Alan Shearer have said if we're voting now for player of the year, he gets it. He should be right up there. What's your take on him, Grizz? Because he splits opinion all over the place, not only between Liverpool fans, but fans of football in general. Is he in the running to be player of the year, Grizz?
Why not?
Fun for you.
No, it's a tough one, but why not?
Mm.
Why not? And so you gotta look at the pros and the cons, I guess, right? So why not? So he's captain, and he's not only a captain, he's an influential captain now, mm-hmm. and a motivational and inspirational captain of the greatest team the Premier League has ever seen. Right? Arguably.
Mm-hmm.
He's the captain of the current Champions League winners. The World Cup winners, the Super Cup winners. He is captained and played in the majority of all those tournaments and cups that I've just mentioned. He had a slightly underwhelming first couple of weeks of the season, and people tend to forget. People tend to always expect magnificent 9 out of 10s from Henderson. Henderson is not that type of player, not that type of captain. Henderson is your solid pro and then has inspirational moments, which he has. At every moment of need for Liverpool Football Club, Henderson has been there. So I don't see many arguments for him not to be one of the candidates. Now, the argument will be from Liverpool fans mostly, which is absurd, which drives me up the wall, because you can understand and accept other fans of clubs saying Henderson, blah, 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 blah. But when Mongols, Liverpool FC supporters, are looking to sort of undermine any praise that their skipper of their great club gets, that's what irks me, Gav. It makes me mad. The only other thing that makes me more mad than that is like lentil curry. I hate lentil curry. Mm. I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
So you're saying trolls are like lentil curry?
But why would you look and search and make an effort to undermine your captain for any praise that he's getting in the media? Embrace it.
To be honest with you, Grizz.
It's the culture, and no one likes to be proven wrong.
No, do you know what? Listen, here's a bit of advice for you both. Ignore it. Because at the end, listen. He's a football player playing in a team, right, that basically have won 24 of 24 games, where I lose count, right? You do not be in that team he's probably been in the team for 95% of that, okay?
Yeah.
You do not stay in a team like that if you're not playing exceptionally well. And I'm not saying on his own he's playing exceptionally well. Everybody in that side has played exceptionally well. Have they had off days? Absolutely. Has Van Dijk had an off day? Yeah, you could probably pick one or two.
Of course, yes.
Alisson? Yeah, maybe. Adrian? Yeah, definitely. Trent? Yeah. Robbo? Probably. You can go through them all. And you include Mane, you include... Everybody has off days, right? But to me, and the thing with me with Henderson is... I ignore anybody that wants to knock Jordan Henderson, because And I ignore anyone that, and it mightn't be just Jordan Henderson. I ignore anyone that knocks Mo Salah. Now, don't get me wrong. Jordan Henderson, I always go back to Old Trafford this season. Jordan Henderson was atrocious, right? Absolutely atrocious, right? And most players were. And I turned around after the game and said Jordan Henderson was atrocious. But overall, Jordan Henderson has probably been about 8 out of 10 overall for the season. In the last 2 or 3 months, he's probably a 9.5 out of 10. And that's, I don't even know why I'm taking the half point off him, right? But at the end of the day, he's captain of Liverpool Football Club. He's captain of a side that is blowing records out of the water all over the place. It'll be a travesty if they don't do about 106 or 108 points in this league. It will be a travesty if they don't go unbeaten. It will be a travesty if they just don't go down as the biggest winners of the Premier League has ever seen. Okay, and it'll probably be a travesty if they don't add probably a second trophy to that on top of the league as well. But when it comes to players like him, he's always going to split opinion. Like, I'm looking here and people are saying he'll get the player's player, he'll get the writer's player. People are saying he won't. You know, they go for this, they go for that.
I think Kevin De Bruyne will get it.
I can't understand how Kevin De Bruyne is in with a more chance of getting the players of the year than any player that's playing on Liverpool 11. And I mean that. Because at the end of the day, Kevin De Bruyne has had a really good season for Man City. Really good. But at the end of the day, he hasn't been good enough to galvanise the most expensive probably squad in league history to go anywhere near Liverpool.
Let's not beat around the bush with in terms of Kevin De Bruyne is playing with sensational world superstars.
But so was Jordan Henderson.
But this is my point. A lot of people say, oh, Kevin De Bruyne. People forget Kevin De Bruyne hasn't galvanized them enough, hasn't been inspirational enough to get City out of this slumber. Mm. They've lost 6 games in the Premier League. Now, Jordan Henderson, talent-wise, technique-wise, isn't probably on a level of Kevin De Bruyne. No, he isn't, right? Let's just put it out there. But Henderson has shown the mentality, the inspiration, the motivation he's had to almost Stevie G style carry us in the last few weeks. And people tend to forget that. You know, so Kevin De Bruyne isn't playing with a bunch of clowns, is he? He's playing with top players, yet he hasn't been able to galvanize them and sort of do the things that Henderson's done for this team and raise the levels of Liverpool like Henderson has. Look, it's the player of the season, as I said to you. The only thing people will say maybe is to say, look, we have a better player within our own ranks that could be nominated for player of the season, Sadio Mane for me.
To be honest with you, if you're given player of the year,
Hey, don't forget the Johnsons are coming over. I want to find a rosé Jill hasn't tried yet.
Let's go exploring at Total Wine. Their prices are ridiculously low.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, always low prices. Total Wine and more.
Give it to Sadio Mane, and that's being honest with you. But we done this comparison with Henderson and Kevin De Bruyne. There is no comparison because they're two different players, you know. And don't get me wrong, there's been flashes from Kevin De Bruyne that have been unreal this season. You know, I remember a goal away at Newcastle, he's hit some ridiculous assists as well. But at the end of the day,
that's the issue with Kevin De Bruyne, though. It's just flashes. When the chips are down, like you saw today. Yeah, I didn't see him today.
No, but this is what I'm saying. Like, you can't look at a team that could possibly go. I'll put it this way: how many points have Liverpool got?
73
points. So if Liverpool pick up another 27, 28 points, they will get 101 points, which will make them the most successful Premier League side over one season that they've ever seen. How you can pick anybody outside of that for Player of the Year is beyond me. It's beyond me. You know what I mean?
Correct.
That is a level that not only one player, but 11 players have stuck to. Look, Man City took 100 points 2 years ago. Who was the player of the year 2 years ago? Anybody tell me? Virgil van Dijk win player of the year last year?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he did. A team went 97 and 98. He went hell for leather at each other. I want to know who the player of the year was when they won this. When they won at 100 points, who was player of the year? Because if it wasn't the Manchester City player, I'd be absolutely blown away. Kevin De Bruyne has been very, very good for Man City this season. Has he been as good and influential as Sadio Mane for Liverpool? Absolutely not. Not a fucking chance. And I don't care what anybody says. That's just the way it is. But we could discuss this all night. Let me see, Stephen.
Yeah, just a bit of breaking news about, you know, like sort of TalkSport have been spouting a lot of rubbish about.
Sorry. Salah won it the year City got 100.
Now that's right, because he got 40 odd goals.
44 goals he got.
Didn't win anything.
Right, so that's probably the outlier. 44 goals in your season back. You win player of the year because he was top scorer in the league. It was ridiculous. But what I'm saying is, Kevin De Bruyne can't walk around and say, seven, eight goals a season?
Yeah. I know what you mean. The parallels, you can't compare.
The parallels aren't the same.
Salah's season, you can't compare Salah's tremendous, amazing season to Kevin De Bruyne's little splurt of forms here and there. Because look, let's be honest, when it comes down to the crunch, I'm gonna say it. When it comes down to the crunch, Kevin De Bruyne and Pep Guardiola, the questions need to be asked about them in big, massive games. Not only in the Premier League, but in Europe as well.
I don't.
They have not performed against the big boys in Europe.
The Tottenham game showed that, didn't it?
What, today?
No, the Tottenham game, the Champions League.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah,
they threw it away twice.
Previously to Liverpool as well, and then previously, I don't know who knocked him out in the previous year. But, you know, when it comes down to it, Henderson has won us the Champions, not won us, but sort of been a successful part of the Champions League in every other final that we've played. And now, you know, an unprecedented season, a start to the season, and which will hopefully end in sort of a world record-breaking season. So, you know, The comparisons are very difficult, but you can't clearly justify Kevin De Bruyne winning it over Henderson for me. Okay. You just can't. But what I was going to say, Gav, is very quickly, you know, TalkSport have been very critical and vocal about sort of this and that and Liverpool and undermining the quality of Liverpool.
Don't pay much attention to them, Book One.
Well, no, we have to now because we don't have to, but it's different. It's funny how everyone is slowly jumping on the LFC bandwagon. So, you know, the main presenter, what's his name, man? Adrian Durham. So, do you remember
is this his poem?
That's it. So, I retweeted it a couple of days ago, and lo and behold, TalkSport have just retweeted that tweet of mine. So, you know, maybe slowly we're winning the media round, and they're realizing, look.
But also, wasn't Adrian Durham when he was doing that in their Liverpool office? So he's probably playing to the crowd.
Well, fair enough. Who doesn't? But the point is,
but Grizz certainly does. You love the crowd, Grizz, don't you?
I'm just going to say, who doesn't? Who doesn't? But the point being is, you know, the media, you know, jumping on the bandwagon. Do we embrace it? Why not? I think we should, because look, at the end of the day, if you can't beat them, join them, and that's the mentality they're having, because they've tried to beat us all season in every aspect, tried to undermine it, tried to say it's a poor league, tried to say VAR, tried to say all these kind of bollocks. But now I think slowly but surely all these media, a few pundits out there are sort of slowly jumping on the bandwagon that we are actually the greatest team the Premier League's ever seen.
Do you know what? Well, like people are saying here, you know, about the player of the year and Salah. Salah is, and somebody says there, he's the anomaly, and like Gareth Bale was, like Luis Suarez was in 2013-14, Bale probably the season previous to that, I think. But I just can't get me, like, and somebody says there, like, external views on Henderson's, etc. don't matter. Dean Simmons says this, you only have to listen to what his manager and his teammates say to know his importance to the machine that is a football team. That's absolutely spot on. Absolutely spot on. And look, there's loads of people on social media, and they go on about Henderson, and he's only being good for this and only being good for that. And that's fine. If they want to say that, that's absolutely fine. I wholeheartedly disagree with it. And I think it's extremely hard to take not only Henderson, but any player in this squad and throw mud at them for anything that they've done between August and probably not August, probably the August before that, or go back again over the last probably 2.5 years and not say, you know what, great player. And when all is said and done, they gave everything for Liverpool. Look what they've done over a series of probably, it could go on to be 3, 4, 5 years. But to to be negative over any player in this squad for me is just a bit mind-boggling. We have got a T-shirt to give away tonight from Footy Globe. You'll know them from online. They have loads of T-shirts out, the unbearable stuff. They actually have the new one now with all the years we've won the league, and they've gone out on a limb, as they'd say, and put 2020 down as that. To be in with a chance of winning that, all you have to do, and the first person that comes up on screen and answers this, is who was the first player to score against Liverpool in the Premier League this season? Grizz, Chris, don't say anything, please.
I know.
Yeah, I know you know, but you can't win. And Grizz doesn't want to win. He's this sort of stuff is below him. But Grizz, look, when all said and done, we're 22 points clear. You know, we've talked about Pep Guardiola's kept his team in for 45 minutes today. And now what a lot of people are thinking is, when are we going to win this? Grizz, I know this is a really, really pressing issue for you as to when we're going to win this, because you've planned to come to Dublin and celebrate it with me. But when do you think we're going to do it?
Look, I said to you last week, a couple of weeks ago, I thought it was going to be Villa at home, right? But I've been studying and analysing the fixtures of both teams. And, you know, when I get into my deep analysis, you know, it takes all night, mate. All right. So I've been studying the fixtures and sort of the XG maps of both teams and all sorts, right? I've got a whole room dedicated to this type of analysis, right, Gav? Mm-hmm. And I really think it could be before then, Gav. I think we possibly could be looking at, what's the home game before Villa? Palace? Is it Palace, Chris?
Palace on the 21st of March.
But that's the one. Book it in your diaries, lads.
You think it's that? I'm a bit thrown by all this now. I'm being honest with you.
If we win the next six, that's the sixth game.
Which is the sixth game?
Palace.
I think it could be earlier than that. A lot of people are saying we're doing it at Goodison. Morbid Angel says we're doing it at Goodison. Liam Morrissey says Trent will win Young Player of the Year. It's not even a contest. People don't realise Trent. Oh, sorry, that's gone off my screen. I really want City to give us a guard of honour, says Megan. It'll be done in March. City will lose again before playing us, says Kevin.
Let's look at City.
I want the 7th of March. That's Bournemouth. When I want it to be won. Bournemouth at home.
Have you got tickets?
No, because the next game is the Goodison Derby.
Okay.
Guard of Honour at Goodison. Can you imagine?
The thing is, Chris, right? I get that, the Guard of Honour. But I wouldn't want to win the Premier League after 30 years anywhere but Anfield. Mm. Anywhere.
Well, that's why I said win it at Bournemouth at home, because then we have the trophy at Bournemouth at home. Your next game is the Guard of Honour.
Oh, is that how it works? Of course.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. Amazing. That would be absolutely amazing. But Crystal Palace at home.
Deep says, if we beat Shrewsbury, the day changes for the Palace game.
Oh, yeah, because we should play, play Chelsea away, won't we?
It all changes things. A lot of people have suggested Bournemouth on the 7th of March, but we'll have to wait and see. Keep Plunkett
says, I think that's a very, very strong possibility. You know why? You just look at their fixtures, Gav, right? Mm-hmm. So they've got West Ham at home, right? They'll smash them. Then they go to Leicester.
Okay.
Tricky. Right? Then they've got Madrid, right? Because they've got the Madrid in between, right? And then in between Madrid, they've got Arsenal. Ugh, see, the thing is, I can see them dropping.
They haven't got Arsenal now because they've got the League Cup, haven't they?
Oh, of course, yeah.
So they've got Madrid, then they've got the League Cup.
Yeah. Final. And then they've got City coming. They've got Chelsea away coming up.
United away. Oh, God.
But Burnley at home, which is always fun.
It's just a matter of, listen, isn't it beautiful that it's just turned February and we're looking at fixtures where
Alan says the earliest league win ever is the 14th of April. He said we're set to smash that record.
That must have been a shit league as well.
Yeah, that must have been a terrible league as well. But Grizz, what do you think this does to the league? Because I've seen things come out afterwards now where Pep Guardiola has said, you know, when we won the league, we're 100 points. The main men at the Premier League were concerned over this and stuff like that. Now Liverpool are doing the same. Will they be concerned?
I'm gonna give you a dose of your own medicine and give you the same advice that you gave us. ignore it.
Okay, on to the next question. Okay. So,
I've got a bit more of an opinion than that, if that helps.
Yeah, go on.
I think this might have the effect that the Leicester title win had.
Okay.
The Leicester title win scared the shit out of a lot of the top six sides, mm-hmm. and clubs got their act together. City woke up. We finally got our act together with Klopp and everything like that. I think it's now reasonable for clubs like Chelsea, Tottenham, Man United, but especially Chelsea, Tottenham, and Arsenal to a certain point, where they can go to their owners and their boards going, well, Liverpool have won the league. They don't have City money. They don't have Man United levels money. And they've built a team that can win the league. Why can't we? And I think that's going to change mindsets now for those sort of clubs going, actually, bollocks this, or we could get top four. We haven't got the money that City have got. You don't need to if you can get the right strategy in place. I'm not saying they're going to do it overnight, but I think a few clubs, it might be a little bit of a wake-up call that
where
some don't
the
want.
Model, where the envy, the model, the example of every club in world football right now. Every club aspires to be like Liverpool. Every coach aspires to be like Jurgen Klopp, from top to bottom, from the youth setup to our training ground facilities to our marketing. We're in a magical moment. And Gav, when you say, what does this mean? It means fuck all. It just means this is a one-off season. Look, no one, even you, Gav, I know you've got a lot of things right this season, and fair play to you, because like it's been about 10 years since you haven't got anything right, right? So no problem. You've suddenly got something right.
No, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. I openly admitted last season that I thought 30 wins, 5 draws, and 3 defeats would do it. 95.
Well, listen,
I was incorrect. I came back at the start of the season and I said 30 wins.
I'm giving
will
you
do
your
it.
Props. I'm giving you your props.
So
you
I don't make a lot of predictions, but I did predict.
Yeah.
What was your season predictions, Chris?
I have them here. He can't remember.
We talk about them afterwards.
He can't remember. That's the problem. He cannot remember the predictions he's made. I have them all. I have them all right here
Gavin
on the desk beside me. And he
Gavin
can't
Doyle.
Remember what he's predicted.
Gavin Doyle. Predictions are what? Predictions are fluid.
Fluid. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they
okay,
are fluid.
So, but listen, at the end of the day, it's an amazing season. It's a one-off. Really, can we see the distance? Can we see Liverpool and the rest of the teams repeating their standards, so our standards being sort of out of this world, the rest of the standards, I don't give a shit about their standards, but they have to raise them. Someone's got to give us a game next year. Someone's got to give us a title, a competition next year. There's no doubt about it. We are already favourites for next season. But will it be like this? No, so nothing's going to happen. Let the likes of Pep and say what they want. Pep knows what he's saying. He knows it's our time to dominate. We're back on our perch. And, you know, let's have fun while we're at it. That's it.
The exciting thing to look forward to for Liverpool is this will be the first time Klopp's ever had to build a second team, because at Dortmund he just lost his players every season.
I don't think he has to build a second team straight away. I think
no, but over time he's going to evolve this
absolutely,
team.
Absolutely,
I'm intrigued to see, because I don't think he'll just stick with 4-3-3. I think at some point he might try to be a bit radical and a bit different.
He may do, but when you look at it now, like anybody going into this window in the summer would be thinking, you're probably going to add someone in attack, you may add someone a full-back, but you're basically not squad fillers, because I hate that term, squad fillers. You either come in and you're good enough or you're not. But it's 2020 now. I think in the summer of 2020,
I think we're past
you probably
stage.
Will look at it.
Gav, I think we're past the stage of looking for squad fillers. I genuinely believe we will go out and make 3 or 4 signings of players aged between 20 and 25 and the best players in that age group. I think we're past getting squad fillers. I think we're looking...
I still think you must need someone to cover Robertson. That's not a squad filler, but you're not going to displace Robertson. But
that's
it's nice
the only
that,
one. That's the
it.
One,
it would be nice to have someone who's not James Milner. You know, bless him. You know, his legs aren't going to... And the other option is you're probably going to need a Lovren replacement.
Okay. Look, somebody's asked when will we actually get our hands on the trophy? It'll be the second last game of the season at home to Chelsea.
Chelsea at home.
Yeah, Chelsea at home is when the...
Is that
when
confirmed,
the,
isn't it?
No, it's always the last home game of the season, unless it goes down to the last day. That's all it is.
North
Red says, respect to our club. That Paisley statue is fantastic. What an iconic work of art. Of course, that was unveiled during the week. It was really nice. And different. It's really different. With him carrying Emily News, really, really different. Somebody asked a random question. What music would you like played at your funeral? Grizz, what music would you like played at your funeral?
Music at my funeral?
Yeah, North Red wants Born in Love by Elvis.
I'd probably want that Christmas song that I'm really in love with, Gav.
Oh, the Pogues?
Yeah.
What do you call it again? What does he call it?
The Bells Are Ringing.
The Bells Are Ringing. he kept saying to me, I love that song, The Bells Are Ringing. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
I'm sure he says that somewhere in the lyrics.
Oh, yeah, he says the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So it's not all mad. There's always method to my madness, Gav.
Yeah. Ella says, out of curiosity, would you rather win at Anfield, the Etihad, or Goodison?
Yeah.
I'll take it at Anfield.
Anfield
all the way. But wherever it comes, it's fine. Keith Plunkett says the bells are ringing. And he also says he's looking forward to seeing Grizz in Dublin so he can cry tears of joy into his pint of Guinness. Grizz doesn't drink Guinness. He doesn't drink. He's a strict Muslim. We all know that. Highway to Hell, not original, I know, says Kev O'Sullivan. There's loads. The Jam Going Underground, says Avo the Tour. Well, these are all ones that come across. I don't know. I don't like to think about that. I think it's a bit morbid. Grizz, man of the match from the weekend. We've talked about a couple of them, but
oh, that's a bloody tough one. Mo Salah.
Okay.
Just ahead of Bobby.
Okay.
Mo Salah, just for his just all round play. It was not just his goals, and he was just. He was a threat. He was a menace. He was strong. He was powerful. He was quick. It was back to the Mo I thought of the season before last.
Okay, Dylan O'Rourke says he wants something by Will I Am at his funeral. Sounds good.
Does he know?
Chris, who's your man of the match?
I'll go Bobby because I was toying between Bobby or Salah, so I'll go the other one.
Let me see. Paddy agrees with you. Stephen Mack also agrees with you as well, and so does Kev O'Sullivan. So does Shaq. There's loads of agreement with that. Mick has Alisson as man of the match. Megan says Bobby or Hendo for her.
You could pick any one of those three.
I thought Salah was outstanding. I really did. But you see, this is the thing. Every week, you don't know who we picking here, because it's just every week. And this is what.
This is
the point I'm going back to. We have a team here that is competing every week against each other for man of the match, never mind competing against the league to try win it. Let me see. Adam Petruccione says, if Trent breaks his own assist record, he's got to have a shot at player of the year. No, I don't think so. I think that's probably between Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, Henderson might get in there, Van Dijk could get a mention.
Trent's got the young players.
He's
got it wrapped.
And De Bruyne will obviously be in there. But listen, if De Bruyne had to score 25 goals in midfield, someone says there he's 8 goals and 15 assists. Fair enough. If he had probably, say, 15 to 20 goals and 15 assists, I'd say, yeah, that's outstanding. But I don't think it is outstanding for a player that's built up like that to be wherever he is.
Yeah, in a mega star team as well.
Having said that, throw a bit in for him in the summer, I'd absolutely have him in our squad anyway.
Back up, right back.
We have 5 minutes left. If anybody has any random questions, absolutely throw them in. Or if you just want to hear Grizz tell people that Fabinho has very long legs, you can absolutely go with that. Ella says, invincible season, FA Cup and the League, or the League and Champions League? Very good question, right? So you can have an invincible season, the FA Cup and the League, or you can have the League and Champions League, no invincibility, all that sort of stuff. Chris, you're taking the League and Champions League?
All day. Take all the big trophies.
Yeah. Grizzy, the same?
World domination, mate. League and Champions League. I mean, come on. Arsenal got the invincible tag, right? But who gives a shit? Does anyone care around Europe or the world about Arsenal's invincibility? No, it's just a small little title.
How did Arsenal do in that season when they were invincible, right?
12 draws.
No, I know that. 2004, wasn't it?
They got knocked out by Chelsea in the Champions League when Chelsea weren't the Chelsea force they are now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chelsea's last season under Ranieri, where they finished second, knocked them out.
Okay. No worries. Cool. The only thing is, Liverpool go on to win a Champions League and lose a league game somewhere. People go, oh, but they weren't invincible like Arsenal. Yeah, but they won a Champions League. So, yeah, I just wanted to see. What will be the nickname we remember this team by?
Boss.
Yeah, I don't think we'll remember by that, Christoph.
It is boss.
I agree, nice
scouts and simple.
Yeah, I think the word relentless comes into
more. We've got to get out of this
unbearable.
Yeah, it's got to be worldwide. So it's got to be something that everyone remembers us by.
I think the word relentless just comes into my head every time I think of them. The Borough asks, will our players be nervous on the match we clinch the trophy? Do you think nerves might set in? And you know,
smashed nerves.
No, I'm just saying.
We've smashed every fucking nerve. We've been to finals. We've lost titles by a season. We've gone past the nerves. There's no more nerves. That's the most amazing part of this. There's no... The Liverpool fan base is still nerves, showing nervousness, and there's some sections that are still saying, take each day as it comes. Absolute cowards. Bottle drops, a lot of use. There is no nerves in this team. This is the most beautiful part of it. We are the nerveless ones. The nerveless ones. What's wrong with that? We'll be remembered as the nerveless ones.
Oh, I don't think we will. I don't think that'll look great on advertising slogans, because the nervous ones. But no, I think he has a fair point. Does the nerves kick in a little bit? Because look, no matter how good this side is, Grizz, they are still they're on the verge of history, massive history. And
I think what
he means by it is, could it be a case of where we could win it, say, for argument's sake, away at Everton, and we draw and we don't win it, and it goes on to another game? Could it be something like that, Chris?
It could do, but I don't think the nerves will kick in, because it's not like last year. Mm-hmm. Where every drop point, as we found out, was absolutely crucial. I think we have a seven loss cushion to sit on. I think it's going to be a bit more of a, if not this week, it's definitely next week. Okay. So there may be a slight stumble, but I don't think it'll be nerves. I think it'll just be a certain clubs just don't want to be the one that's it's remembered at, if you know what I mean.
Mm, okay. All right. Grizz, anything else before we go?
No, I just need to find out when we're going to win this title. I need to sort out my itinerary, Gav.
Mm.
Okay, get yourself to Dublin.
He's going. He's coming to Dublin. Yeah.
And when are you coming to Liverpool, Gav?
I'll be in Liverpool May.
We're all in Liverpool for the last
weekend of the season.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, we're all around. So if anybody wants to join us, they're absolutely welcome. Man, woman, or child. Once the child is willing to buy around. Chris, anything else before you go?
Nothing for me, mate.
Okay. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Grizz, pick me a team to win it.
Go Niners.
he's only saying that because the only team he knows.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. You've got me wrong here. Please, you've got me wrong. When American football was pretty famous, right?
Yeah.
When it was quite popular, I used to be a huge New York Giants fan, right? That was back. And see, I could give you facts now, because I don't know if the rest of the lads are listening, right?
This is the Channel 4 days.
But yes, Chris. This is, Gav won't know because Gav's still a child. Dan Marino.
Gav's older than me.
Miami Dolphins. Dan Marino was the quarterback. Mm. I used to be a big New York Giants fan back in those days. I'm a real American football man.
Yeah, yeah. So go Niners anyway.
At the moment, it's go Niners.
Yeah. Okay. Chris, for you?
Couldn't care less.
I could, because Matt, at the start of the season, picked the Niners completely at random to start supporting in the NFL, and they're in the fucking Super Bowl final. And he will be, if you think Liverpool are unbearable, well, you see Matt tomorrow morning if the Niners go and win it. I want the Niners to win it as well. Right, the question was, who was the first man to score against Liverpool in the league this season? The answer, of course, was Pookie off Norwich. Dylan O'Rourke was the first man in with the answer, so Dylan O'Rourke wins the t-shirt from Footy Globe. Mr. Bolognese was second in with the answer. I have a poster here from that Airman Muzz designed, and a lot of people have liked the picture that we had up for the tweet for the show earlier on. That is by Muzz, so I have a poster there from Mr. Bolognese, and I have a second poster there which I'm going to give to Megan because she won us money over the weekend, so I have that there. So All three, if you can send us an email or just send us a private message on Twitter, just letting us know name, address, and we'll get them to you as soon as possible. Yeah, that's about it. That's the Fat Pack for your Sunday night. The club will be recorded tomorrow and released tomorrow night. Liverpool play on Tuesday night against Shrewsbury. I will be back then, and then we'll just see how the rest of the week goes. I'm still on that mad schedule. I'm still trying my best, and at some stage we will get back to some sort of normality. Chris, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, mate.
No problem. Grizz, thanks a million. I love you.
I love you too, mate.
Great stuff. Have a good one, everyone. Liverpool are 22 points clear. Number 19 is happening. Get all your plans in order. Get all your ducks in a row. But most importantly, let Grizz know when we're about to win it so he can sort his itinerary. Over and out.
Attention Social Security and SSI recipients. If you did not receive an economic impact payment for your eligible spouse or dependents, you may need to file a 2020 tax return with the IRS and claim the recovery rebate credit. Go to ssa.gov/EIP to see if you need to file a tax return and if eligible for other refundable tax credits, like the child tax credit. That's ssa.gov/EIP. Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Ese último McNugget me toca a mí porque soy la mayor.
¿Y eso qué tiene que ver?
Los mayores se respetan.
Eso no existe, ¿cierto, mamá?
Ya. Yeah. Quédense tranquilas. Aquí hay otra cajita de McNuggets.
Respeto, ¿viste?
El no hay rivalidad cuando hay McNuggets deal. Hay un deal para cada salida familiar en McDonald's. Compra uno de tus favoritos, como unos McNuggets de 10 piezas, una Big Mac, una Quarter Pounder with Cheese o un Filet-O-Fish y te llevas otro por $1. Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. Válido para un producto de igual o menor valor.
Sports Social Podcast Network.